Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say. Next, but let's just review quickly what's happened up to this point. In chapter 1, John recounts how he received the revelation and why it's so important. Chapters 2 and 3 are seven letters to seven churches representing all churches down through the church age. And the main emphasis in those letters is for those who claim the name of Messiah to repent, come back to your first love, and walk uprightly before the Lord your God, because judgment day is coming. Chapter 4, verse 1, the trumpet blows, the rapture and the resurrection, the believers are caught up to heaven for our judgment day. There are two of the appointed times of the Lord called Yom HaDin, or judgment day, and this is one. This is where the believers get judged for their works and receive their rewards or come out feeling really smoky. In chapter 5, the raptured and redeemed saints sing praise to the Lord for having redeemed us out of every people, tongue, and nation. And in chapter 6, verse 1, Messiah opens the first seal. And that begins the seven-year tribulation. The first seal releases the rider on the white horse with a bow but no arrows. It is the false Messiah who's come forth to conquer through peace. And in Daniel 9, chapter 9, verse 27, we saw how the false Messiah confirms a covenant with many. The word confirm there means make big, make strong, make powerful. So he's not necessarily the one who puts it forward. He's not even necessarily a signatory to it, but he's one who guarantees the terms will be upheld, that both sides will remain at peace, or I will intervene, is essentially what it means when it says he will confirm the covenant with many. You know how well that works? Second seal is war. We talked about how there are three major wars in the tribulation period, the Psalm 83 war, the Battle of Gog and Magog, and the Battle of Armageddon. But that's just the three major wars. There's also war that rages all around the globe. And the false Messiah will try to kill anyone who expresses faith in Messiah and keeps the word of God, who keeps his commandments. Now we come to the next seal. In verse 5, so when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. So I looked and behold a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. What do the scales represent? How many of you have seen Lady Justice holding up this? That's not what it means. These are the scales of commerce. There's a worldwide famine. There's a food shortage. How many of you have been watching the news to see how virtually every country in every part of this world is being hit right now with either extreme heat destroying the crops or flooding destroying the crops or earthquakes destroying crops? The bottom line is what? Crops are being destroyed all around the world. The wheat, the rice, the soy, the barley, and the animals are dying by the millions around the globe. There is a great famine that's coming. And of course, even in a time of famine, there's still some food. But who gets it? The wealthy. So the wealthy are going to be fine. The poor are going to die. It says in verse 6, and I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. So a quart of wheat for a denarius was a day's wage. So with a day's wage, the average person can buy a quart of wheat. How much will a quart of wheat feed? A loaf of bread?
Maybe two.
Maybe two. But that's all that you can buy with a day's wages. And of course, it says 3 quarts of barley. Barley was considered animal food. If you're going to have an animal like a sheep or a goat that you're going to eat, you got to feed it. So here you got to make a choice. Do I buy wheat for bread for me, or do I go hungry and feed the lamb so that I can eat the lamb later? There's going to be a lot of hard choices. When it says, do not harm the oil and the wine, it indicates that the wealthy are going to be just fine. But those that are not so wealthy, they're going to have a really, really hard time. Then we come to verse 7. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, come and see. And I looked and behold. Why the word behold?
This is important.
Oh, this is important. Don't miss it. Oh, what happens? A pale horse. It's not actually pale. The Greek says it's a chlorous green horse, a sickly green, like infected mucus kind of green. And it stands for pestilence. It says, and the name of him who sat on it was death. And Hades followed with him. This is indicates that death by war, famine, and pestilence is just going to rule over the globe. We're going to find that in the first half of the tribulation period, up to 2 billion people are going to die around the globe by war, by famine, by disease. How many people died in World War I, do they estimate? 10 million. The war to end all wars. World War II was worse. It was almost 50 million. In the first half of the tribulation period, it's about 2 billion people. How do you kill 2 billion people in that period of time? Clearly, God bless you, the war is going to go nuclear. You can't kill 2 billion people with stones and sticks, not with swords, not even with bullets. And you add in the famine and the pestilence, the disease. What diseases have we seen make resurgence recently?
Smallpox.
Measles, tuberculosis. Even the Black Plague is making a comeback among the homeless here in the United States. Things that we thought were eradicated and done with are suddenly making a resurgence. How many have noticed an increase in insects in this area this year? The size, the intensity, the number, the aggressiveness, yeah, all that. So death and Hades followed him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth. So when people tell me the first half of the tribulation period is all nice, peace, and harmony, I think a quarter of the earth is almost 2 billion people. That's not paradise, is it? Not by any stretch of the imagination. To kill with sword. Sword indicates what? War. With hunger, that's famine. With death, that's talking about disease and pestilence. And by the beasts of the earth. So the animals are going to become aggressive once more. And it's going to be a very hard place to live. So what should we be doing now?
Repenting.
Repenting and preparing to be ready to go when the trumpet blows so we will not be here. And sharing the gospel with our families that maybe they won't be here either. Because if that sounds like a fun time, no, it sure doesn't. But that's only four seals. How many are there? Seven. So there's three more seals to go. Verse 9, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who have been slain for the word of God. That's talking about the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God. And for the testimony which they held. So let's go back to Matthew 24 for a moment, and let's continue to line up the seals with what Messiah told us in the Olivet Discourse. Matthew chapter 24. Messiah gave us a foreshadowing of all these things that they were coming. If you look at verse 3, the disciples asked Messiah three specific questions. When will these things be? That is the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. That happened in 70 AD or 70 Common Era. What will be the sign of your coming? The Greek word there is parousia. It means the coming as a king in your kingdom. And of the end of the age. The end of the age and the coming in the kingdom are pretty much parallel events. They mean when do we end this age we're in now and come to the kingdom of Messiah, the Messianic era. And in verse 4, Yeshua answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. There will be lots of people teaching false doctrine about the second coming of the Lord, trying to keep people from being ready. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. First seal is the release of the false Messiah who claims to be God. Have there been any other false messiahs in the news over the last few years? Many, haven't there? Verse 6, you hear of wars and rumors of wars. So that's the second seal. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. That word end is telos, meaning the goal, the coming of Messiah in the kingdom, reigning over the world. Verse 7, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. I'm glad there hasn't been any war lately, aren't you? There's war everywhere. It's just a sign of the times. But during the kingdom, in its preparation, as we're in the day of the Lord, in the time of the tribulation period, there will be all those wars we talked about. That's the third horse, the red horse. So that's the third seal. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places, the third and fourth seals. So right there we have seals 1, 2, 3, and 4. All these are the beginning of sorrows. The word sorrows there in Greek is odin. It means birth pangs. As the use of the word birth pangs or the phrase birth pangs has been used throughout the Old and New Testaments to talk about the tribulation period. What he means is this is just the beginning. It's going to get worse. Verse 9 says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. That's the fifth seal that we're just reading about. The fifth seal, verse 9 of Revelation 6, and when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar, that's under the altar in heaven, the souls of those who have been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. That's what he means by you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Well, yes, ma'am. The 144,000 comes in chapter 7.
But in this, is it in this first, second, third, fourth seal?
The answer is yes. Okay. So let me get a couple more verses and we'll see them.
Okay.
Verse 10, many will be offended, will betray one another, will hate one another. The many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound. What's lawlessness? Breaking God's law, holding that God's law doesn't exist anymore. The love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end, there again is telos, the coming of Messiah. Those who survive to see Messiah come will be saved. Verse 14 is the 144,000. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. Then the end, the telos, the goal will come. So Messiah does not return until the 144,000 have preached the gospel around the globe.
So verse 10 is the 144,000?
Verse 14.
Oh, 14.
Verse 14 is the 144,000. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and the end. Then the end will come. The 144,000 begin preaching at the start of the tribulation period. They preach for the entire 7 years, the first 3.5 years in Israel, Jerusalem, and Judah, and then to the entire world.
And they're sealed, right?
And they are sealed. That is correct. Okay, back to Revelation. Verse 9, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar, that's under the altar in heaven, the souls of those who have been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. That's actually explained for us later in Revelation 14:12. So let's turn to Revelation 14:12 to see what they mean by this. Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Yeshua. During the tribulation period, if you're breaking all of God's commandments, the false Messiah has no interest in beheading you. He likes you. You're spreading his message. Where do we find his message? That's in Daniel chapter 7. He attempts to abolish the Torah and the feasts and the festivals and the seasons. So the ones that are slain by the false Messiah in verse 9 are those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith in Messiah. They were not saved when the tribulation period began. But many of them will have heard the gospel message, maybe from you and me, and will have rejected it. But when the rapture comes and they see the soles of your feet, they may go, you know, Mom wasn't as crazy as I thought. And maybe I need to go grab her Bible and see what she knew that I didn't. And they're going to get saved during the tribulation period. They're going to be Torah observant, messianic believers. And the false Messiah is going to hate them with a passion. And what we saw in the book of Matthew chapter 24 is other family members are going to turn them in. They're going to squeal on them. Just like happened in Nazi Germany. Yeah. Verse 10. And they cried with a loud voice saying. What's that word saying mean? What follows is a quote. How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Why do they think the Lord's going to judge and avenge their blood?
Because if they're slain for the word of God, that means they know that one day there will be a judgment coming.
Yes, in other words, it's written in the scriptures and they believe the scriptures. Go back to Isaiah 26. All the way back there. When it teaches the rapture and the resurrection. Verse 21 of Isaiah 26 lets us know that at the end of the tribulation period, Messiah is coming in judgment. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain. So this is the saints that were slain during the tribulation period and Messiah coming to take vengeance for their death. So they know it's coming. They want to know when. And the cry, how long, O Lord, we've looked before is a very common traditional Jewish prayer is how long, O Lord? Either how long until we get restored to the land? How long till the kingdom comes? How long till the temple gets restored again? Let's look back at Romans chapter 12 for a moment. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 19. Romans chapter 12, beginning of verse 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Again, the theme here in Romans 12 is the Lord will avenge. And those martyred during the tribulation period are saying, yeah, he's going to avenge, but how long? Let's get on with it, Lord. Let's get it done. And let's go back to Psalm 74. Psalm 74. Psalm 74. Just one example. Psalm 74, verse 10. Oh God, how long will the adversary reproach? Will the enemy blaspheme your name forever? It's really the same question. How long, O Lord, till you're going to judge those who are blaspheming your name as the false Messiah will do and making war against the Lord's saints? Back to Revelation 6. Verse 11. Then a white robe was given to each of them. What does that white, the white robe represent? The righteousness of the saints. And it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer. So that's the Lord going, be patient, my child, be patient. Why be patient? Why doesn't the Lord just pour out his wrath right then? Everything has to work out the way the Lord planned it, and there are more to be saved yet. So long as there are more being saved, it's not time for the tribulation period to end. Does God take pleasure in hurting people? No. Does it take pleasure in killing people? No. Then what's the purpose of the seven-year tribulation period? When do people tend to come to the Lord? When everything is just hunky-dory or when times get hard? When the pressure's on. How many of you heard the old expression, there are no atheists in foxholes? Yeah. So the tribulation period begins with judgments and tribulations, but they're milder and farther apart. The closer you get to the end of the 7 years, the harder they are, and the closer they are, and the more the wrath gets poured out, and the more that people have not repented yet come to the point where they never will. They've been given opportunity after opportunity to repent. When we come to Revelation 16, you'll see they shake their fist in the face of God. They know who's pouring out the judgments, and they refuse to repent. So by the end of the tribulation period, anyone who's not repented just never would. And that's when it's time for it to end. So the answer to their question, how long, O Lord? The answer is, until all who will come have come. And then the end will come. So verse 11, then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, and to both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. So there will come a time that the massacres will stop because the Lord will intervene. It's just a matter of being patient.
The remnant Jews, believing Jews, have not gone out yet. Is that correct?
The remnant that will flee to Petra have not yet fled to Petra. Nope. I'll show you where that happens. Verse 12, I looked when he opened the sixth seal. How many are there?
Seven.
So we're getting to the end of the seal judgments, the sixth seal. And behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. And the moon became like blood. Let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 38. Ezekiel chapter 38. By the best I can reckon, I think the battle of Gog and Magog will come about the 3-year point of the tribulation period. So about 6 months before the midpoint. We'll find out when the time comes. Ezekiel 38 is the battle of Gog and Magog. Many prophecy teachers today are saying it's on the horizon. We can see it. Of course, they've been saying that for a couple years now, haven't they? Ezekiel 38, verses 19 and 20. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken. Surely in that day, what day? Day of the Lord. So this doesn't precede it. This has not happened yet. There shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel, so that the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the field, all creeping things that creep on the earth, the entire earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. Does that sound like a little earthquake? No. The mountains shall be thrown down, the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. That is the sixth seal. Verse 12 of Revelation 6, that I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, which means the sun won't give its light. And the moon became like blood, so it's blood red. This is not the four blood moons that we had over the last couple of years and the solar eclipses in them. I've heard so many prophecy teachers teach that years ago we were in the sixth seal. Even though seals 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 hadn't happened yet, they said, well, you know, what's the fact that they're numbered in order? Okay, let's go back to Isaiah 50. Isaiah 50. Is prophesied all the way back in Isaiah 50 that these things are going to happen. He says in verse 3, I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. So the sun being darkened and the moon being darkened and blood red is a result of the blackness and sackcloth that the Lord is covering them with, which is a picture of mourning and sadness and repentance, and things that are begun to be going on in the earth. We also read about these in Joel 2. Joel 2. Joel 2. Joel chapter 2. People are still turning. Joel chapter 2. Verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward, that I will pour out my spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Remember Peter and Acts. Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book of the Bible. So you can listen online, or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.